Press Patron, which is, as the name suggests, a New Zealand online platform that makes it easy to support the future of journalism via crowdfunding, membership payments and donations. Basically, if you like a news site and they're on the platform, then you can contribute financially to their upkeep. And they've been busy at Press Patron making a weekly compilation of stories from across the site that have caught their eye. Press Patron's Alex Clark joins us in the Wellington studio. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
Thank you for joining us in Wellington tonight. And some of the stories that have caught your eye across the site. Let's start with tomatoes, tin tomatoes to be precise.
Yeah, Newsroom's got a nice piece that's looking at the sourcing of tin tomatoes in New Zealand supermarkets. I think what prompted this particular story is The Guardian recently did a report looking at tomatoes that come from Italy and a lot of exploitive work practices that are happening over there. It turns out in New Zealand, there's not a lot of tracking that really gives the consumer a good insight from the producer to the supermarket and what happens in between.
From our own manufacturers of tin tomatoes?
It would be from ones that are sourced specifically from Italy. In the report, it's about 2/3 of tomatoes purchased in New Zealand are actually sourced from Italy.
So I'm just trying to think of some of the brand names of them, because they're the ones that are right at the forefront of the supermarket shelves, aren't they?
Yeah, it's usually ones that have like Italian tomatoes in the title, and they often, it's a whole range of brands from the budget all the way through to some that have the premium labels. But yeah, it's not all of them that are going to be suspicious or suspect. I think the key point of the article is that just there's so much unknown, and there are some proven cases of quite serious exploitation of workers in the production of tomatoes in Italy.
Well, that's something you wouldn't necessarily think to be the case, would you? So a good story to uncover.
Yeah, it's quite surprising, because you'd often think of Italy as being part of the EU, subject to those stringent EU rules and regulations around the production of food. But it turns out there's quite a bit of an underbelly there, connections to the mafia, or when workers have kind of challenged things, when they're not getting paid and things like that, they're being threatened with different nefarious things.
Buy local then?
Yeah, I think that's the best way.
Well, we hope. Maybe they should do an investigation on that. But no, I'm sure there's nothing going awry there. Whilst we're talking about food, Stone Soup Syndicate have a story titled Weaving a Community Through Food. What's that about?
Yeah, so it's actually quite closely linked to that story. It's about food sovereignty and really knowing about the full journey that your food takes from production through to being grown, produced, the way that it's then prepared for your meal and sort of how you're consuming it. And this particular article sort of advocating for having a greater awareness of that whole process and where possible trying to have a bit of autonomy and self-determination over that process, because there's a lot of disconnect in terms of the way that we consume our food today.
That's absolutely right, and there'll be plenty of people listening too who think, I know exactly where I get most of my food from because it comes from the garden.
Yeah.
So they know where it's been sourced from because they've grown it themselves. But I was thinking about this the other day because of eating some cashews, and I thought, I don't really know where a cashew comes from. You know, I know it's a nut, but I didn't know where it came from. And I sort of looked it up and I was really surprised by what it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No.
It's like a...
I might have known, but enlighten me.
It's like a fruit that hangs like a pear and off a tree. And that part of it is not what where the nut lives. The nut lives on the outside of it at the bottom.
Okay.
Really weird. One per fruit.
Mm.
And if you're talking about how this incredible amount of cashew nuts get to your table, that's a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
I think they're native to Brazil, but they're in other countries, obviously. So I was thinking about that very, very thing, because there are still things that we really don't know where they come from. So do they cite some examples?
So in that particular story, it's more just looking at... In terms of the disconnect, looking at how with corporations and without a lot of food chain analysis of the journey that it takes, in general, we're not particularly well aware of each step of that process.
What do they suggest that we do?
So a lot of it is, as you're saying, sort of grow in your garden. Where possible, try and choose from manufacturers that do have a greater level of transparency around where the food comes from. Go to restaurants where the chef you can have a chat with and learn a little bit more. There are a few places sort of cropping up where they really do understand the journey of the food that they've prepared and put on the menu.
Very interesting. Okay, and now let's get to the workplace. And this is a site called management.co.nz. What do they focus on? Is it for people in management or how to be a good manager? What is it?
Yeah, so this particular publication has a range of topics related to management. This particular one is looking at mental health and well-being in the workplace. So there's been, as you'll be aware, there's been that recent boost in government funding for mental health services. This article is looking at the way that business leaders can support mental health in their workplace.
And how can they do that?
I think a lot of it's like actually having programs in place so that it becomes part of the workplace culture. So it might be the provision of counselling services, could be simple things like there are a few apps out there that you can get subscriptions to that do mindfulness or meditation. Having good procedures in place for things like workplace bullying that can crop up and making sure that there's a nice process for actually dealing with that without the employee feeling intimidated, making sure that people aren't working too long, that they've got work breaks sort of built into it, being able to recognise when an employee's distressed and being able to give them some solutions on how to deal with that.
A lot easier, I guess, when you're in a smaller environment and a bigger corporation, perhaps not quite so easy.
Yeah, and it can be harder with smaller businesses where it might only be 3 or 4 people, so it can be a bit more difficult in those circumstances. But benefit of those smaller workplaces is you also have a closer relationship to be able to identify when things are going wrong and sort of work through them one-to-one.
All right, and the net wealth tax sounds, I was going to say intriguing, but a little scary.
Yeah, so New Zealand's one of the few countries in the world that doesn't have a very comprehensive system of wealth taxes. So we don't have an estate tax, we don't have stamp duty, or in terms of capital gains tax, pretty much doesn't exist except for very limited circumstances. So this particular article is looking at what type of wealth tax might work and looking at systems overseas, in particular trying to put a percentage tax on overall net wealth that individuals or organisations might have.
I'm a little bit confused. What does that mean?
It's sort of taking the net assets that a person has, and for example, you might tax them at 1% of that net asset. Is what they'd be paying in tax to the government. And then the government would determine the threshold, whether that's sort of like the top 1% or the top 2% of individuals. So there are a few variables there. I think the key point of the article is we pretty much don't have anything at the moment, and a wealth tax can be a good way to sort of bridge the big gap in inequality, which has been widening a lot especially since the 80s onwards. And also using that extra revenue to reinvest in the country, whether it's in infrastructure or health services, education, law and order, those sorts of things.
And that's on the Noted website, noted.co.nz. And finally, Alex, a story that is on our glaciers. That's also on Noted, New Zealand's incredible shrinking glaciers.
Yeah, so they've shrunk by nearly a third since the 1970s. It's tying into a lot of climate change-related things that have been happening over that period. It's basically an article that's a bit of a wake-up call. Gives some examples of like the glaciers around the place, like Fox and Franz Josef, that have been declining quite visibly, like within a generation.
Well, thank you very much for that rundown on some of the news stories that are on the site. And how's Press Patron going?
Yeah, pretty good. We're about to reach our first $1 million worth of supporter contributions that have been going through the system. So, yeah, quite an exciting milestone coming up for us.
And the website is presspatron.com. Thanks a lot, Alex.
Yeah, no problem.
That's Alex from Press Patron, Alex Clark, in our Wellington studio.